Welcome to Career Tools. This week, getting ready to get promoted. Delegation. Here we go. Folks, this cast is about how to get promoted. And many of you ask about getting promoted to manager. And do we have guidance? And of course, we're giving it to you. And if you're going to become a manager, we highly recommend shortly after you become a manager, you come to the Effective Manager Conference. We keep the price down. We keep the group small. We make it interactive. You'll learn how to get to know your people, how to talk about performance, how to ask for more, and how to push work down, which are the only four things you need to be really, really good at managing other people. Come and see. Okay, Wendy, so we're going to talk about what do you do when your boss tries to delegate to you relative to your interest in getting promoted. Okay.
Yeah.
And I would even suggest that this guidance is even more broad than that. We would want to suggest that people would say no if they don't want to get promoted. But that said, one of the things you need to get promoted is more experience. And we've said before to managers, one of the ways to get your directs more experience is to give them part of your job when they have air cover from you. This guidance is for the reverse of that. If you're an individual contributor, or for that matter, even if you are a manager and you're a listener, and we're thrilled. If you're a manager and you're listening to Career Tools, you're smarter than those managers who don't, because they have careers too. They're just not learning about them. So what's our guidance for somebody whose boss is delegated to them and they're trying to get promoted?
So first of all, say yes,
yeah,
whether you think you've got time or not, just say yes.
Let me just ask you a quick interjection there. Is there any time that we would tell people to say no?
I would never tell someone to say no. I have said yes every time.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I think I just wrote in our licensee email, things I think, recently about a female reporter who was asked, what's the best career advice she ever got? And it was say yes and work hard.
Right? Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Then you work out how to fit it in.
Yeah, in other words, you say yes without knowing how.
Yes.
And those perfectionist high C people who are listening are like, I can't do that. And we're telling them, sorry, you have to.
Yes, because if you want to do the next job up, you have to do more than you're doing now. And if you can't work out how to get this in, then you can't do the next job.
Yeah.
My sarcastic self.
Yes, exactly. That was very well said, by the way. Yeah. Okay, good.
And then the last thing is report early and often.
What do you mean by that? You mean as they're working?
As they're working.
Okay. Yeah. So, once
you've said yes and you've started working, you need to report early and often. Mostly good. Because if it's something you don't know how to do, it'll stop you getting off track.
Yeah. And we're going to christen the first item, say yes, as the Marissa Mayer, who, for those of you who don't know, and I bet there are more women who know who she is than men. There are some misogynistic men who listen to Manager Tools and Career Tools, unfortunately. And they write us periodically to tell us that most of our examples of managers are women, when in fact they're equally men and women, which shows their own bias and not ours. We're going to call this the Marissa Mayer item, because recently Marissa Mayer was quoted as saying, regarding her career, she always tried to do something she didn't think she could do. And then she discovered new abilities, new skills, new reserves of energy, and she made it happen. And she got it done. And now she's the CEO of Yahoo, which is no mean feat.
And she lives in the Four Seasons.
Yes, yes, folks, we've just now tapped into one of Wendy's fantasies, which is to live in the Four Seasons or a Ritz-Carlton somewhere in an apartment that is serviced, and all she has to do is work. And I would be happy if we were successful enough to provide that for you, Wendy, so we could get even yet more still work out of you, which already reaches prodigious levels, by the way, guys. Okay, so first rule, say yes. In other words, don't say no.
Yeah, and don't ever say no, and don't think that whatever you're being asked to do is beneath you, or you can't work out how that fits. If you think, oh, I really need to learn about budgets, and I wish my boss would delegate budgets to me, and he delegates, I don't know, something, you know, some project that you really don't want to do, like clearing out the filing room, there's still skills that you're learning. And saying yes makes him willing to give you things in the future. And it may be that he's just testing you and he's giving you small things before he gives you the budget. So there's all sorts of stuff that's going on. And if you start saying no, then you start cutting yourself off from learning things. So say yes, even if you can't see the point, say yes.
Guys, when your boss delegates to you, think of it as a half empty, half full problem. The half empty problem is, this is going to be hard. I don't know how. And the half full is, he or she wouldn't be asking me if they didn't think it was possible. I mean, we do this all the time when we talk about managers and the difference in how they see their relationship with their boss, or how they think their directs see their relationship with them. And it's all because of our mistaken belief that our directs think of us as the one nice guy in the world who is the boss. But think about that for a second. Folks, raise your hand if you intentionally would delegate something to one of your directs, which you knew they would fail at. And I know you're not raising your hand. So what makes you think your boss is so Machiavellian, dark, dastardly, that she would do that or he would do that? They don't. They just don't. So we are incontrovertibly, unreservedly, completely on the side of say yes, even if you have no freaking idea.
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. And one of the things you're learning, even if there's no, you have no reason to think that what the task you're being given is useful to you, one of the things you're learning is how to do more in less time.
Exactly.
And you need that for the next job up, because there's a reason that your manager is paid more than you. He does more work than you. And you've got to work with other people. You've got to manage a project. You've got to, you know, even the smallest project, even clearing out the filing room is a project. And so if you've run a $5 million project before and you think, well, I can do that. Well, you've probably, if it was a $5 million project, you were working with professionals. If you're clearing out the filing room, you might be working with people who are temps or hourly paid, or people that, you know, have different expectations of timeliness and what doing a good job means. And so you're learning to work with a different set of people with a different set of beliefs.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to learn. And if you say no, you definitely won't learn.
Definitely won't learn, other than you maybe teaching your boss something about you. Bosses don't delegate with the idea that people are going to say no. They want to be successful. They're not trying to screw you. Yeah. Saying no never increases your skills in any way. Yeah. I would also add as a little bonus here, at the end, after you've said yes, and yeah, ask some questions. There's nothing wrong, in fact, with saying yes, if you then ask questions. It concerns bosses if you start asking lots of questions before you've said yes or no. When you say yes, a question after the fact appears to be, I'm trying to understand what you want me to do and how I'm going to do it, and I'm inquisitive about solutions. Asking questions before you say yes or no is often perceived as defensiveness, as creating a case for why you shouldn't do it. So here's one of the questions you should ask, folks. This is a common, I tell people this in the field all the time. I tell managers to look for it, so we ought to include it with career tools folks, with individual contributors. What you ask your boss is, hey, this is great. Okay, I've learned a lot of information. What do you expect me to get out of this? Now, look, there are some bosses who absolutely will say to you, well, I just need this done. And okay, that should be a lesson to you. That's not what you want to say to your directs when you become a manager, since this is about helping you get promoted, how to respond to delegations when you're thinking about getting promoted. You don't want to treat people that way. But sometimes your boss is going to say, well, actually, I'm thinking that you need to be broadened here or here or here. Oh, okay. That's good for me to know. That means as you go through the project, you're going to pay special attention to those situations where here, here, and here are opportunities for broadening. That's just my two cents. It's not in the show notes or anything, guys, but you might want to pay attention. There might be a quiz. Okay.
We should do that. We should do quizzes after.
Well, I think many people have asked us that, right? In terms of serializing the podcast, making them available for corporate clients and so on. And that's all in the future. Okay. The next thing, and what everybody wants to know, is how do I fit this in? Because I've said yes, but I wanted to say no because I don't have time.
And it doesn't matter where you are, there's always a bigger job. So even if you're the CEO of a $20 million company, the CEO of a $20 billion company job to go to, right? The job.
And they're all done by humans.
They're all done by human beings.
And they're all done every day.
Indeed.
Okay.
And at every level, wherever you are in the organization, you have to be able to fit more in order to get to the next level, and you have to do a better job of deciding on priorities and ditching the things that are of low value. And every time you make a step forwards in your career, you have to be better at saying, okay, now I'm here, those things don't matter. Now I'm here, those things don't matter.
Yep.
So saying yes forces you to decide on priorities and get rid of the things that are low value.
Yeah.
And it shows you what you don't need to do in your job.
Even yeah. if
it's a temporary project and it lasts 3 months, in those 3 months, you have to say, okay, while I'm doing this project, I'm not doing these things. And when you get to the end of the project, if nobody's mentioned these things, you don't pick them up again.
What you're not saying is that people are listening to you and they're thinking, yeah, but there's some things I really like doing, and those are the ones I want to keep doing. And of course, they'd be missing the point, because one of the definitions of transitioning from individual contributor to manager to senior manager to executive or junior executive and then executive, however you want to striate the company, is the issue of you no longer get to work on things you like to work on as your first choice. You get to work on what the organization expects you to do. And there are some roles that those two circles in the Venn diagram overlap a lot. And they're early on in your tenure in a new job, the Venn diagram of what you love to do and what the job expects of you are probably only barely overlapping. And that means you won't have enough time to get it all done. And you're going to have to drop some of the things that you love doing at the level you're at. And there are people who never make the transition because of that. And the whole point of saying yes to delegation is it starts you now dropping things. And yes, there is risk. And when you drop things and nothing bad happens in 3 months, the risk you had measured into your daily choices of activities was false. And you are learning how to assess risk more effectively, which is essentially the opposite of what's the reward of the organization. And if nothing bad happens when you stop doing something, apparently there's no reward to that thing being done. Because if there was a reward, somebody'd be protecting it, and the risk would be you being punished for not doing it. I know that sounds terrible, but
this is one of those do as I say, not do as I do moments, because for all those people that are thinking, I'm going to really struggle because there's things I really like doing, but I know they're not good value, so do I. So yeah. You're not alone. Practice makes it easier.
People ask me about that, and I say, well, you know, I'm going to be a single dad soon, and in being a single dad, I could travel a great deal. And I don't mind traveling to serve clients, but I'm not going to get to. Because there are too many things that require my attention that I can't travel and do.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. It would be different if I had a private jet and a staff of five. That would be different. Then I could get everything done. But as it is now, having to rely on schedules and cars and so on, I can't get everything done and do the travel, keep the travel that I'm doing. And so people think, well, you know, Mark and Wendy love their jobs. They're doing all the stuff they like to do. Are you crazy? Are you crazy? No. I'm about to make another leap forward in my ability to get things done by focusing on the things that only I can do in the organization. And there's a small set, but the more I do of the things only I can do, the more it frees up other people to be doing the things that only they should be doing. So, yeah. Okay. So I've got to make a point here about Parkinson's law too,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Because it has Horseman's
corollary. Yeah, corollary.
There's a word I can't say.
Horseman's corollary. Yeah.
Thank you.
Parkinson's law, folks, says work expands to fill the time available or allotted to do it. If you give yourself an hour to do something, it'll probably take about an hour. And what that means is if you don't schedule things and if you don't limit your time, if you don't provide yourself what amounts to deadlines in the form of, I have to have this done by a certain time, it will take a great deal longer. Well, Horseman's corollary to that is that work can shrink when you choose to give it a smaller amount of time. If you can get all your work done in 75% of the time it normally takes, then you have time to learn the new skills you need to get that promotion. And you have time for the special projects, which allow you to meet new people and get more visibility. But look, I know you don't think that you can get your work done in 75% of the time it normally takes you, but the fact is, you're wrong. You can. You've put additional layers of quality on top of your workload that aren't appreciated by the organization, and so therefore are worthless and are therefore expensive because you spend time, which is money, on worthless things, That's expense. Boy, that's a pure expense right there. That's not an investment. That's just a plain old expense. And the only way you're going to discover that you can do all your stuff in 80 or 85 or 90 or 75% of the time is to have more to do and to feel like you have to. In the same way, as I've said, I don't know how many hundreds of times on all the casts we've done, how is it we're able to get so much done the day before we go on vacation for 2 weeks with our family when we're not going to be working?
Amazing. Yeah. It's amazing how fast you can make a decision on an email when it's 5 minutes before you want to go on vacation.
Yeah, exactly. Suddenly, I'm going to make a decision. I don't have all the information, but I have enough. And so I don't feel comfortable about it. But the definition of a decision, of a decision is not I'm comfortable. The definition of a decision is it's effective, a good one. Yeah. Okay. So now, last point. We beat him to death on that one, I think. Last one, as you said, report early and often. And what you're talking about is once you've started, right?
Yeah. When you're doing something that you're being delegated to, it's probably something you've never done before. And therefore, you don't know how to do it. And therefore, you need more attention from other people. You need more input from other people to make sure that you're doing it right. You don't want to be given something that's going to take 3 months and get to 3 months and say, hey, boss, I did it. And he says, yeah, that wasn't what I wanted at all. And you don't want to create some huge project plan and then find out that you misunderstood something fundamental. So for high C's, like make a first draft and show it to your boss and say, okay, this thing you delegated to me, here's my plan. And it's your first draft. And yes, it won't be right. But if you spend 3 weeks doing it and it's still wrong, you've just wasted 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Whereas if you spend 3 days doing a draft and it's wrong, you've only wasted 3 days. In a 3 month project, 3 weeks is a lot of time.
Yeah.
And the high eyes, they probably need to go through a few iterations because their first draft will be on the back of an envelope and it will just say do project, which you probably need a bit more than that in order to prove to your boss that you kind of know what you're doing. The high eyes are the most likely to be off track because they're full of a million other ideas that get caught up with the things they're supposed to do. So reporting early keeps you on track and makes sure that you're actually delivering what you're supposed to be delivering. And if you don't deliver it, there was no point in it being delegated to you and you got no closer to the promotion that you want. So.
Yeah, I think it also helps you get more feedback from your boss. I can't tell you the number of times where I reported early and discovered, oh, I'm sorry, Mark, you did what I told you to do, but that's not what I want. Or wow, this is great.
Yeah.
And bosses appreciate that. Even bosses who say, no, just go do it. You may not be able to get time, but you may be able to send an email and say, hey, by the way, this is what I'm working on and here's where I'm headed. And again, early is better simply because if you're 5% off finding that out earlier, you're not as far off the center line as if you wait longer. The longer you wait, the further you are off of true.
If your manager isn't the kind that, you know, likes formal reports, if he's in a high eye, for example, then you can have a conversation. A project doesn't have to have, you know, a Gantt chart for it to be valid. It can be on the back of an envelope. It just has to have more than do project. So you want to give them, your manager or the person that's delegated to you, confidence that you're on the right track. And so they have to have either a conversation or something written down that says, hey, this is the track I'm on. But it doesn't have to be some big formal thing if you've only been delegated a small thing.
We're not telling you this because this is what managers want. We're telling you this to benefit you. The managers do want it, but the sooner you find out good or bad, the better for you and the better for the manager.
Shall I sum up?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is the Marissa Mayer rule, so yes. Work out how to fit it in and report early and often. And being delegated to is always an opportunity. It's always an opportunity. There's always something in it that you can learn from or you can meet someone.
And you can ask about what it is and they'll mind of your boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it might come wrapped in a package that doesn't look like something exciting, but if you look for the positive, you can find out.
Yep. Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week. After all, it's spring and it's baseball, and you never know.